Chapter 7. Stand. Have you ever purchased something that did not work and then try to take it back to the store? That is what so many Christians do. They hear the good news, and then they don't wait long enough to see it become real in their own life, and they return it as something that does not work. Sometimes it is difficult to believe the truth we cannot see and feel with our five natural senses. There can be no victory without conflict. We must recognize that we dwell in an enemy's territory. His aim is to keep lost people lost and going to hell. His aim for Christians is to get them so interested in the kingdom of the world and its systems of money, entertainment, power, popularity, etc., so that they are not even aware that they could live by a higher kingdom, the kingdom of God. Satan does not always use bad things to tempt us. Sometimes he uses the good things of the world to lure us away from God's kingdom. Satan uses circumstances and ideas to convince us that we are not sitting with Christ, that we should not walk like he walks, and that we should give up instead of standing on the promises. We are heirs of the kingdom of God, so why should we live like those people who are not? Standing against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now that we understand sitting, who we are in Christ, and walking, living a life worthy of the Lord, we are prepared for spiritual conflict, which is called standing. God's plan to take care of all of your needs is to give you fruit from the seed of the Word. Satan's plan is to block that fruit by stealing the seed and/or making you unfruitful. Standing is the final step in bearing fruit for your life. Standing is only for those who have received, sit, and walk. Standing means to hang on with patience, faithfulness, perseverance, and to speak words of faith, no matter how bad circumstances look, and no matter how bad you feel. It means to practice what you learned in sitting and walking every day. Here is how it works. Jesus was teaching his disciples in Mark chapter 4. He told them that the mystery, not one of the mysteries, but the mystery of the kingdom of God was contained in this parable. He asked them in Mark 4:13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" Jesus used this very visible agricultural example of seed being sown to explain and unveil the mystery of the unseen world. Mark 4:9 through 11 says, "And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables.'" The entire kingdom of God works like this parable. God plants the seeds of his words in our hearts, regardless of the condition of our heart. These seeds represent all of God's purposes for our lives, beginning from being born again, to being filled with the Spirit, to being healed physically and mentally, being provided for, bringing us into our proper relationships in life and everything else that is God's purposes for us. It all works by the seed of the Word being planted. Mark 4:14 through 20 says, "The sower sows the Word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the Word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These, likewise, are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Notice that Satan comes to steal the word. This is really the only weapon that Satan has against mankind, to steal the word, or to blind us from the word. 2 Corinthians 4:4. If any person would receive the word of God, they would be saved and go to heaven. If any person would receive and believe the word of God, they would be made whole, their needs would be provided, and their life would be in order. Satan cannot hurt anyone who believes the word of God. He can and does tempt them. He can put signs on them that make it look like the word is not true. But he cannot hurt you if you are totally submitted to the lordship of the word, who is Jesus himself. We will always need to overcome difficulties, but we can overcome and win. The way in which we overcome, the results, are God's business. Often things do not work out according to our plans. However, we can trust him in all things. If Satan can get you to act according to your old nature, flesh, and the way of the world, he can steal God's promises. Galatians 5:19-21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, the seed of the word bearing fruit in your life." So, in a very simple, childlike way of looking at spiritual warfare, let's focus on Satan's only weapon and on our response to his actions. Standing, or spiritual warfare, is not reserved for the saint of God who has been walking with God for 20 years. No, it is for every child of God, and God makes it possible for all of us to perform warfare in his might and power. We do not have to be experts. Remember, God gives grace to the humble. James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace." Therefore, he says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." There is a process that God has in transferring his will to earth. To convert our problems into blessings takes time, and it takes our patience to hang on after all hope seems to be gone. In Luke 19:11-13, his disciples thought that the kingdom of God was coming to earth right now, that all their problems would be solved the next day. He taught his disciples a lesson for you and me. "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come." Luke 19:11-13, KJV. He told a parable about a king going into a distant country to obtain a kingdom, and he would soon return. He called his servants and gave them each an amount of currency equal to about 4 months of salary, 10 minas. He told them to occupy until he came back. Many of them detested his authority. There were 4 classes of people present at his return. 1, the group that detested his authority and did not want anyone to reign over them were banished from his presence and killed. 2-3, others occupied or did business and traded with the currency. According to their success, they were given more currency and rewarded with kingdom authority over many cities. 4, others did not occupy because they thought that the king was a mean person who would punish them for occupying. Not only did they not get any rewards, but also the currency was taken away from them. Use it or lose it. What is this word, occupy? The word occupy means to do business, to trade for profit. Business, by definition, is to take a raw material or service, add value to it, and make it more profitable so it can be useful or sold. It means to exchange or to even change something to make it more profitable. It is used in the Bible to describe people who had businesses, cattle farms, and other businesses, both good and bad. Proverbs 3:13-15 NIV says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable merchandise or occupy than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her." We are to change our problems into profit. We are to take the raw materials of problems and do business with them by producing blessings. Another word is reconcile, which means to turn something from an enemy to a friend. The currency that this king gave to his servants was his own property. I believe that his property is his resurrection power that he gave to us through the Holy Spirit. Jesus does not have any bad things to give us. However, we do have unresolved issues to which he wants the power of his cross applied. I submit that this is what he gives to us. We can see the afflictions as coming from the enemy, and in many ways they do. But Jesus wants us to see them as having been filtered through him as unresolved issues. We allow his resurrection power to change our enemies into friends, our junk into jewels, our curses into blessings. Colossians 1:20 confirms this as it says, "And by him to reconcile, make friends with, all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Matthew 25 unfolds this mystery, the parable of the talents. This parable in Matthew 25:14 is almost the same as the one in Luke 19. The master left and gave out the currency to his servants, and he is going to return later. The wise and foolish virgins, Matthew 25:1, tells about five foolish and five wise virgins. The only difference was that the foolish ones did not hang on long enough when their bridegroom was late in keeping his promise. The foolish did not have enough oil to wait for him. Virgins means that they kept their sins cleansed before the Lord, so they were all believers. The difference is in being wise or foolish. The wisdom is hearing God speak. The lamp would be the Word of God, Psalm 119 and Proverbs 6:23, and the oil would be the Holy Spirit. When those are combined, it equals perseverance, patience, staying power, and the fruit of the Spirit. Then they know that their Lord is going to come to deliver them even if all human hope is gone. They are going to hang on to what Jesus said to them, no matter what. The Lord will come back now into your situation to change your problems into blessings. The wise virgins knew their master's personality. I can hear them saying, "I don't care if he is late. He is a man of honor and integrity. He will keep his word. He will never leave me nor forsake me." The wise virgins stay connected to God and his word and his Holy Spirit to such a degree that nothing can move them. So what is this wisdom? Wisdom is knowing and relying on the fact that the cross of Jesus absorbed all the evil and everything must turn out to be a blessing. The law of gravity says that whatever goes up must come down. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:1, says that all evil has been disarmed and now must be a blessing if you believe. It also says that there is now no condemnation if you are walking in the Spirit, as we have described. Wisdom is knowing that all things have been reconciled through the cross, not just people, but all things. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:19-20. Reconcile is a powerful word. Strong's Concordance, too, calls it to bring back a former state of harmony. It is defined as to repair, to put back into working order, making peace between two opposing views or groups. Vine's Bible Dictionary defines it as to change from enmity to friendship. The cross of Jesus Christ takes all of our enemies, whether they be people, demons, circumstances, sickness, poverty, everything, and changes them into a friend. This is wisdom. Christ crucified. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." So this is our ministry here on earth, to take all the enemies of our lives, dip them into the blood and cross of Jesus Christ, and turn them into friends. I can tell you by the Word of God and by my own experience that this is true. It works if you stand. Wisdom is knowing that the blood of Jesus has defeated Satan. What does it mean to have victory over Satan? How does the blood of Jesus give us power? Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Romans 6:8-9. These verses say that Satan was destroyed. What does that actually mean? He seems to be running around doing a job of destroying others. The word destroy is defined in Strong's Concordance, too, as 1. To render idle, unemployed, inactive, inoperative. 1a, to cause a person or thing to have no further efficiency. 1b, to deprive of force, influence, power. When Jesus and you and I were raised from the dead, we were born again as new race that is no longer subject to Satan. He has no more dominion over us. We have dominion over him. Satan used his ultimate power on Jesus at the cross, and Jesus was resurrected after that. Satan has no more power to exert. He is out of tools and weapons. He can still destroy an unbeliever, and he can deceive a believer. But if we know the truth, he cannot harm us any longer. As far as we are concerned, he is destroyed. If we stand on the truth, all Satan can do is lie to us. Satan has no power over the new creation that includes you and me. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Colossians 1:18. Job 28 indicates that true wisdom is really found in suffering. Job 28:12, KJV, says, "But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding?" The answer, I believe, indicates that when our flesh dies, when we are going through dark places of death, then we can hear true wisdom. Job 28:22, KJV, says, "Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears." Proverbs 11:2, KJV, also supports this when it says, "When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom." This is the script of life. We need to recognize where we are in it. It will make suffering more compatible. Yes, Jesus is returning to earth someday, but he will also return for you now to turn your problem into a blessing. A good example of this kind of overcoming is Daniel in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel was wholly following God and became persecuted by his enemies and God's enemies. Rather than being delivered from the lion's den, he overcame in the lion's den. The result was his enemies were totally defeated. And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote, "To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel 6:24-28. I doubt that Daniel would have prospered and that his enemies would have been defeated if he had not gone through the lion's den. What is our responsibility during the waiting period? Standing requires that we do something. We are not to just wait around. Hebrews 6:12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We must maintain our virginity. That means we must stay clean before the Lord. We must keep short accounts with our sins and keep them confessed and cleansed before God and man. I also believe that the Bible teaches us that during this waiting period, we are to use the Word of God as a sword. Ephesians 6:17b says, "The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Jesus takes our confession and makes it powerful. We are told in Hebrews 3:1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Jesus takes our confession to the Father as our high priest, and the Father sees to it that it is accomplished, provided it is the Word of God. The enemy also takes our confession, our negative confession, and accomplishes what we say. When the Word of God is confessed and prayed over a person or a situation, it is powerful. Jesus created everything by His Word. Jesus is the Word. Jesus gave us the authority to use the Word as if it were Himself saying it. John 1:1-3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made." When the Passover was administered to Israel in Exodus 12, the Israelites were told to put the blood of an innocent lamb over their doors, and the death angel, demon, would pass over and not hurt them. Jesus is the Lamb of God, and we can put His blood over our doors and over the doors of our loved ones and those that we pray for. How? Revelation 12:11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." The words of our mouth will apply the blood. Notice in Exodus 12 that as long as the lamb's blood stayed in the basin, it did no good. But when they took the hyssop, dipped it in the blood, and applied it to their door, then God and the devil could see it. The hyssop was a common weed that did not seem to have much value. The words of our mouth do not seem to have much value, but when we dip them into the Word of God, who is Jesus Himself, and apply them as blood, God sees it and the devil sees it. When we speak God's Word, Jesus takes it to the Father and asks Him to perform it. John 16:23 says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Then we can enter into rest and let the Word do the work. Hebrews 4:1 says, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it." Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Angels go to work when they hear God's word. Psalm 103:20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word." Demons flee. Psalm 149:5-9 says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, representing our spiritual enemies, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord." Satan does not stand a chance. Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." The enemy lost before the war started. Joshua 11:18-20 says, "Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All the others they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden there the enemies' hearts, that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they, the enemy, might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses." Go ahead and think of your worst problem. Now think of or look up a promise in God's word. Now you decide which one is changeable and which one is unchangeable. "Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us." Psalm 67:5-6.